Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was on October 31st, we're celebrating it today on Sunday, but October 31st in 1570 that Martin Luther wrote 95 theses, posted them on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Over 500 years ago. He did this not to start a reformation. The date, October 31st, 1517, has come to be designated as the day that is called Reformation Day. But Martin Luther, he was a professor of theology, and what he was intending to do was to open up scholarly debate. That's what you did when you wanted to have a debate. You'd post it on a public in a public place, and then you could debate among your fellow theologians. But some other people got a hold of this and disseminated it far and wide, and thus began what is known as the Reformation. He spoke in those 95 theses of errors that he saw in the church, false doctrine that was being promoted within the church. And so he started speaking about it, and in time his writing and speaking became more bold. But Luther never intended to start something. He merely intended to call the church back to what it is meant to do, and that is to proclaim Christ. For Luther, it was always about Jesus. He didn't want anybody to talk about him. He didn't want anybody to know who he was. He wanted everybody to know who Jesus is. You see, we are poor, wretched, miserable sinners. There is nothing good within ourselves that we can stand before God and say, hey, look at what I have done or who I am. This is what drives the Apostle Paul in the epistle reading to say that for those who are under the law, they are subject to the law, and so that every mouth may be shut. I think another way of thinking of this is shut up, just shut up. Now, I put the more polite way of saying it in the title, stop, just stop. But that's what Paul is saying. We need to be quiet. There is absolutely nothing that we have to say as we stand before God. He is holy, he is without sin, and we are unholy and full of sin. We cannot even begin to make a defense for ourselves before God. In fact, there is nothing we can do to be saved. Paul says, rather than by works of the law that we are justified, the law actually makes known to us our sin. And so there is no hope by what we do. That's what drove Paul to proclaim the gospel. It's what drove Martin Luther to proclaim the gospel. When in the church, those who were charged with preaching and teaching the gospel, who instead were pointing people to themselves, to what they needed to do in order to be saved. Martin Luther said, nope, we need to go back to Christ, who he is and what he has done. Now, we should be clear, we celebrate the Reformation, but it was not only 500 years ago in Germany and elsewhere in Europe that there was this problem. We see this in our gospel reading today, in the words of our Lord, where he says, for since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. When he talks about since the days of John the Baptist, he's talking about the beginning of his own ministry. That's when Jesus began his ministry, is when John the Baptist came on the scene. And since that time, in the ministry of Christ, The kingdom of heaven was suffering violence. That is, there was an all-out assault on God's kingdom by those who were teaching false doctrine, pointing people to themselves instead of God and the Savior he promised, and also from the devil and his horde. We can see that in all the many people that were demon-possessed. So the kingdom of heaven was suffering violence. But did this begin at the outset of Jesus' ministry? Did it stop after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave and ascended into heaven? No, it was happening throughout the Old Testament. It has been happening ever since Jesus ascended into heaven. The fact is that in this fallen world where we ourselves are sinful, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. The violent are taking it by force. And this is not just from outside the church. It is actually worse when it comes from within the church. Because it is within the church that you are supposed to be hearing not about yourself and what you are supposed to do, but Christ and what he has done. And this is what prompts Jesus to go on to say about John the Baptist, that if you are willing to accept it, the law and the prophets prophesied until John. The law and the prophets was one of the ways that the Bible was referred to. So the law was commonly referring to the first five books of the Old Testament, and all the rest of them collectively were known as the prophets. So everything in the Old Testament was pointing to the Messiah. And that's Jesus, because Jesus goes on to say that if you are willing to accept it, he, that is John, is the Elijah who was to come. At the very end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, he is prophesied that Elijah will return. That's John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he ushered in the ministry of the Messiah, because Elijah was prophesied to come to pave the way for the Messiah. So when John the Baptist came on the scene, what did he do? He pointed to Christ and said, he is the one. It is not about what you do or what you need to do. It is all about who he is and what he does for you. This is why John the Baptist came, was to usher in the Messiah. So what Jesus is really doing is pointing to himself. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to be saved. It is not about what we do or what we must do. So, is there anything that we can do? Is there anything we must do? We know from the scriptures that we must believe, right? We must have faith. Paul speaks of it in the epistle reading today. We are justified by faith. Jesus often said in his ministry, your faith has saved you. In the book of Acts, the apostles often would tell people when they asked, what must we do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But you see, it is precisely here where we hear that you must do something. You must believe. You must have faith, that there are those in the church who latch onto that and they say, see, you must do this. You must muster up enough faith so that you can be saved. That you need to produce this faith. Otherwise, you are lost. And we ourselves, in our sinful nature, we latch onto that and we say, yeah, we need to do something. I need to have faith. And we forget what has already been established. Paul said it very clearly, that through works of the law, no person will be justified. And it is, in fact, this very act of faith, of believing in Jesus Christ, that is not a work of the law. He says it in the epistle reading, for we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. Even this is a gift, where we are justified by Christ, it is a gift, and so also with the faith that we have. It is all a gift, which is why Christ has given us baptism. For as the Apostle Peter says in his first letter, baptism now saves you. This is why Christ commanded pastors to forgive the sins of people, to preach the gospel, which is why our Lord has given us his holy sacrament, in which we receive his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. So just stop. Don't even try to think about what you must do or how you can do it, because it has already been done. Christ came in order to suffer on the cross for the sin of the world. He has accomplished salvation. He is the one who has brought about justification, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, it is by faith, that itself a gift of God, or as we will sing it as we continue the hymn of the day, faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in him unceasing. And by its fruits, true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, works serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.